waving me in the air, hallelujah, I love you. I like that, amen. I'm longing for it. I don't know the last time I got in it, but anyway, God is good. Hallelujah. It's nice to have fun in the house of the Lord. Amen. Where else? They are paying a lot of money outside there to get fun. We have free fun here. Tell your neighbor it's free fun. Because this is the only show that you can get freely. Amen. Amen. You are in our midst, and this is your first time to be here. In other words, you are our visitor. Are you there? Can you show me? Oh, hallelujah. You have one there. Hallelujah. Somebody else there. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Okay, brother. Would you mind to tell us your name? We love you. Even before you tell us, we love you.
My name is Andrew Opere, and I'm friends with Ben Ateku and Charity. Yes, I decided to come and visit them today.
There is a form, Brother Mogo. There is a form you fill and put it in the offering basket. Somebody else somewhere. Long time no see. Are you there? Maybe you haven't stayed for a couple of weeks without us. Are you there? Amen. Let's assume there isn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You had a wonderful week. How was it? Do you praise God for that? Yeah, we are here just because of him that liveth forever. Nothing else. Our weekly meetings are as usual. Just as usual. Tell your neighbor, as usual. That is Wednesday 6 to 8. Thursday 7 to 9. And I promise you, you never leave the place the same. Because wonders, I've been hearing of wonders. Maybe I have not been attending, but because of here and there, but I have been receiving report. That is nice. Hallelujah. Come and meet people of God here. Yeah, we have got Kesha. Tell your neighbor, Kesha. Did you tell your neighbor? Not me, but you're telling your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, Kesha. Kesha is overnight prayer. We are here, we pray and pray and pray. We push and push until something happens. Amen. This is why we call it Kesha, because it's a side of sacrifice. You sacrifice your sleep and you'll be here with the rest of the brethren. So we want to have it on April 15th. Do you have your calendar? Just write it there. April 15th. 2011. That is this year. April 15th. Amen. And I know you'll be blessed of the Lord. We don't have much today, but we have our God. We have to have this time with our God, and we have wonderful, wonderful moment. I'm assuring you that you'll never leave that door the same. Amen. Because we have the hot one from the kitchen of God. Tell your neighbor, hot one from the kitchen of God. Amen. Our Lord has prepared a bread for us, and it is hot. Amen. It's time to give. Before we come to this giving, you can't outgive God. Would you imagine? We used to be outside there, and the guys that used to take, they used to, you, if you buy someone something, and that guy has something more than you, you know what he used to say? Unanichokoza. That you are just mocking me, eh? You mean you can give me? He gives you and give you and outgive you. Are you getting sense in this? Hallelujah. If we give our God, who owns thousands of cattle in the hills, how about giving back? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll call praise team. Just give us one number and then we go ahead and give. Amen. Stand up. Stand on your feet. Israel, are you there? Give us one number and we'll be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember. Give something. Give something unto the Lord. I would say it's a sin, but it's not. It's odd to come in the house of God without something to give him. Amen. Hallelujah. It's always good to have something to give. Give. And you won't outgive God. because he's a good God. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I mean, for this one, I don't know, you could...
Brother Mogo.
It's quite a slow song, so you can stand, you can sit. We can stand? Okay. All right. We'll stand there. Amen. I saw the Lord sit on his throne. Clothed in glory, exalted high, on the train of his robe, fill the temple, and the angels sang around. Singing, you are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, Lord of all. Father, in the name of Jesus, want to adore you, want to glorify you. Thank you for you have reminded us, oh Lord, that we cannot ever outgive you, Jehovah God. What you have given us, my Father, we have given it back, Jehovah God. Thank you because we are expecting, my Father, to reap that fold, 60-fold and even 100-fold, Jehovah God. For your word says that it won't return to you void, O Jehovah God, but it shall accomplish all what it was sent forth to accomplish, Jehovah God. We worship you. We exalt you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us that seed that we have given unto you, my Father. Even for reminding us that it is good to give. We worship you. We exalt you. For we pray believing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Late announcement. Next Sunday, April 10th, will be Men's Sunday. Amen. And now, bring your hands together for our own. Say our own. Praise the Lord. And if you can allow me, I can go on the office of prophecy. If you can allow me, and don't allow me because I'm not doing it for you. Dr. Julius, would you come to the microphone, please? That's prophecy. Amen. Amen. I'm not closing my eyes. For it shall come to pass. Though a vision will tarry, it will come to pass. Minister, Dr. Julius, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, church. God is good. Sometimes you don't know what to say. You know, I was wondering, you know, there is another preacher again today. Oh, I love Jesus Christ. And I love the song that Israel just sang. I was reminding the worship team yesterday that it's one of the songs that, you know, every time we sing, it kind of like puts you into that connection, you know, with the heavens, you know, just crying holy and imagining that in the heavens, the angels are crying and singing to God every day, every morning. God, you are holy, oh, so holy. Awesome is your name, daily, every day, just worshiping the Lord and crying to the Lord and saying how holy God is. Praise the Lord. I'm born again. I love Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. And I am married to that beautiful, beautiful lady out there, Charity. She's the love of my life. She's made me to be the kind of man that you see today. Without her, I would not be. I mean, seriously, she's really been a great help to me. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to minister to the Word of God today. I'd like to start today's sermon with a little joke that I read somewhere, because it kind of like puts you into connection with what we're going to talk today. A little boy got lost at the YMCA and found himself in the women's locker room. When he was spotted, the room burst into shrieks with ladies grabbing towels and running for cover. The little boy watched in amazement and then asked, "What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a little boy before?" You know, boys are very critical. Sometimes their innocence can kill you. Just their innocence, because you don't know what are they thinking in that little head of theirs. You know, what is going on inside there. But today I'd like us to talk about the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman. There are many women that have been talked about in the Bible, and they are all great. The Shunammite is exceptional, because we still don't even know her name. We only know that she's from a place called Shunem, and so she becomes a Shunammite. Just like we can see women from Kenya, and so they are Kenyan women. But I just don't want to talk about the Shunammite woman. I want to talk about the Shunammite hospitality. Because it is exceptional. It's not comparable to anything else. And that's going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, let's go right there. Israel, this monitor is really humming, eh? Maybe you can put it off. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets into Elisha, saying, let's go to verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be that when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. Mark that word, us. Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. That sentence is really critical. I dwell among my own people. Verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Verse 16, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto your handmaid. Verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And I wanted us to go through several other scriptures here, but I think we'll get there as time allows us. This woman had something within her. First of all, we've had some preachers, or sometimes people preach reading a scripture and then you forget what the Bible actually says. The Bible does not say that she was needy. No, she was not a needy woman. No, she was not a simple woman. No. She was not a woman who, you know, would just like a kawaida person. No, she wasn't. The Shunammite woman, that was not her. She was a great woman. Now, in your mind, just imagine what greatness is. Greatness may mean that if somebody comes here and the person is great, everybody would want to be associated with that person. That's greatness. It could be greatness because of finances. It could be greatness because of prosperity. It could be greatness because of the stature of this person, because of her office and whatever else that she does. Whatever the case, the Bible says that she was a great woman. She was not a simple woman. She was a woman who was known. She was a person who was identified in her village, in her city, in her county. People knew the Shunammite woman. She was great. She was not needy. The other thing that I notice about this woman is that she was a kind woman. She was great and she was kind. That's a strange combination. Great women, women of power, women of positions, sometimes they lack that piece of hospitality within them. But the Shunammite woman, she was hospitable. And she was a godly woman. She knew a man of God when she saw one. And as I was reading this scripture this week, I started asking myself, when people see me, do they see me as a godly person? When you look at me, do you see me as a godly person? My stature, the way I speak, the people I associate myself with, do I reflect God? Like what John says in chapter 11, that I must decrease, that he must increase. Do you see Christ increased in me? Because more than anything else, I want to be what Paul says, that for me to live is Christ, but when I die, I am gaining through Christ. Praise the Lord. That today when you see me, you cease to see Julius. You cease to see the prophetic word of Pastor Francis, the Dr. Julius here. But you see a son of God. Praise the Lord. When people see you, wherever you work, in your dealings, the people you deal with, do they see God? When they see you speaking and associating with the people you associate yourself with, do they see God? Can they honestly say that this is a woman of God or this is a man of God? The Shunammite woman, she was a godly woman and she knew a man of God once she saw one. Praise the Lord. Her hospitality extended to this man of God. And I'd like to mention a little bit about men of God. Because we have too many men of God today. And I'm talking to men of God today and women of God. Yes. Because you are really all people of God. But as she continued serving bread to these men, kneading the bread and spreading it in the sun to bake, and then when this prophet comes, she'd give him. To her, it was a service. She was great. She was a person of that level. In her office was that high. But when it came to serving this man of God, she humbled herself to this man. Praise the Lord. And she served him every time Elisha would come to Shunem, she would serve him. And she enjoyed serving him. It was not a pain. It was not she was not forced. It was her desire. It was her will. She would even, when is this man of God coming this way again? She was really looking forward to serve these men. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I wonder when you've been asked to serve, whether you do it joyfully. I say, come on, man. Why do I serve? And Sister Catherine is just sitting there. Sister Wanja is just, why can't they serve also? And we are not even great. But this woman is great. She's a woman of great wealth and great substance. Yet she reaches out to go and she doesn't want to be served. She's the one who is running to serve these men of God. Does that speak to somebody today? And then it did not stop there. She took an effort. She went and spoke to her husband. Husband, if there are any husbands in the house today, sometimes we need to stop advising and just listening. Because this woman's heart was hospitable, she went and talked to the husband and said, you know, this man of God has been coming here. I don't even know where he lays his head to rest. He walks many miles to come and minister in this region. Why don't we make an iron extension for him? So that when he comes to Shunem, he has at least a place to lay his head and his table. To lay his head on the bed, not on the table. At least a place for him to rest. A place when he eats the bread, he can relax. The husband did not object. He was also a godly man. He says, whatever you say, my wife. Maybe, oh, great one. Wives would love to hear that, I'm sure. And I don't know how long it took, but there was a major construction going on in that house. There was major adjustment. If you're renovating a house, it's not an overnight thing. You're bringing down a wall, you're raising up another wall. You're adjusting furniture this way and that way for a man of God, for a prophet that you do not even know. Because all along, she never called Elisha by his name. She always used to call him man of God. She didn't even know, is this a pretender? Is this one of those people that we have, that Jeremiah talks about, false prophets? She didn't care. She knew a man of God when she saw one. And they adjusted. He was not even a son or even a relation. But they decided, we are going to make an extension, like a room for him. Praise the Lord. Imagine putting such resources, such investment for these men. She was extending hospitality to the men of God so that whenever he came to Shunem, at least you'd have a place to lie. As people of God, we need to be different. We need to be different. We need to be identifiable as different people. That when somebody looks at you, that person would not have any doubt. They would say, surely I know this is a man after God's heart. Surely I know this is a woman after God's heart. Yes, I know there are trials. Yes, I know that there are challenges. But endeavor as much as you can to be a man after God's heart. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are representing a mighty God in heaven. The God who sits up on the throne. The God whom Song of Solomon says that he makes the earth to be his footrest. We are his ambassadors. And if truly we are his ambassadors, then let us be good representators of that city in heaven. Praise the Lord. We sing with such joy and gladness. Oh, I am going to that city where the streets are paved with gold. But we live as if we are not going to that city. When people look at us, they wonder, is he really a Christian? When you preach or when you walk around and people hear you talking, and I don't know what else goes into your mind. Help me, people. If you ever find me not living a life that is right, if you ever find me a life that is questionable, come and ask me, Julius, I thought you're a preacher. I thought you're a man of God. Help me to repent. Help me to repent. I don't want to go and talk about you outside there and say, I thought she was a Christian. I thought she was a born again. I'll come and talk to you and say, Pastor, see, I thought you were the pastor of empowerment. What is going on? And help me repent. Help me repent. Because going to heaven, like the Bible says in Jude, is not going to be an easy thing. The Bible says that some of us, some of you, he says in Jude, will reach heaven by being pushed in the gate of heaven. Because you've struggled, everything comes, it trips you, everything comes, you know, it's a problem. That the only way people you'll be gotten to heaven is people pushing you until you find yourself in heaven. But the Bible then cautions and says, but you be careful, lest in pushing others to heaven, you are left behind. So let us encourage people to live a life that is right. Let us encourage people to live a godly life. Let us encourage people, let us encourage ourselves. Let us encourage the people that we fellowship with to be Christ-like. Praise the Lord. There are challenges. In this world, there will be challenges. There are many trials. There are many temptations. Not everybody is the same. Some people succumb to temptations differently. But you, the stronger one, encourage the others who are weak. Encourage those that are not making it. Encourage those who are falling by the way. Keep pushing them. That's your responsibility. Probably you're pushing that person. That brother, that sister will help that sister go to heaven. The last month, I there was a friend of mine in another church that I used to go to. He was a pastor for many, many years. And when he retired as a pastor, he was just attending the church just like anybody else. And he had a history of many exciting things that the Lord had really ministered to him. And he was a very, very prayerful person. Well, every day was the same. He was a wonderful guy. He was a painter. You know, he loved painting. That was what he really loved doing. Well, one morning, he just didn't wake up. He just slept and died. You know, sometimes I think we Christians don't take ourselves seriously. Some words just come through one ear and they go through the other. We think that we are mortal. We think because we serve God that we are not going to leave this earth. This guy slept just like any other person, ate his dinner just like any other person, drank his water or his coffee just like anybody else. But in the morning when it was time to wake up, he didn't wake up. He was cold. He was dead. Supposing there was nobody to push him. Supposing his wife was not nudging him. Come on, Russ. You gotta live like a Christian. Come on, Russ. You're a pastor. You gotta live right. There are people watching you. Come on, Russ. You're a reflection of Christ. Supposing there was nobody nudging him behind him, maybe that would be his end. Maybe heaven will never be his destiny. We've got to nudge each other as Christians. Praise the Lord. The Shunammite woman saw an opportunity to bless a man of God. There are so many opportunities that surround us every day, but we ignore them. And you know what we tell ourselves? Oh no, that possibly can't be for me. That's for Sister Wanja. You know, that's her gift. But then why did God give me that revelation? Why did God open my eyes for that opportunity? The Shunammite woman could have made a fundraising and said, there is a need here. We need to bless so and so. We need to bless this man of God. We need to bless Move. But I can't be able to do it. Let's do a fundraising. Pastor, we need to make a fundraising to bless Move so that every time Move comes to Dallas, he has got a house here. He doesn't have to go to a hotel. And we all agree and we make a fundraising and you come and do a fundraising so that you can build a house for Move here in the church somewhere in a corner right there. But she didn't. Because God cannot give you a responsibility that he has not blessed you with the strength to do so. Praise the Lord. God cannot give you an opportunity to bless without giving you that resource. So don't look at your wallet and say, but it's only. No, it is enough. It is enough. Praise the Lord. I wrote here and I said that God cannot bring a need your way if he has not given you the resources to meet it. But sometimes what do? We just back off and say, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. That's a church need. That's a need the church needs to meet. Do you know, by the way, that when she met the need of Elisha, nobody knew. It wasn't announced in a church. It wasn't announced in a synagogue that, beloved, there's an announcement here, a special announcement here. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank God for the Shunammite woman. She blessed the man of God. She even built a house for him. She's been feeding him with bread every time he comes here. Oh, no, there wasn't. It was in secret. Nobody knew what was going on. People went to the synagogue as usual. They worshipped. You know, Israel played the keyboard as usual. Nothing. Nobody knew what was going on. But she was blessing the man of God. What surprises me about this woman is when the man of God, you know, when you give to somebody, when you give, you open a door for blessings. No matter how stubborn that person is, when you give, that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12. It's like when you treat your enemies kindly, you're actually putting burning coal over their head. You're making this person confused. Why is there this kindness? You know, why is this person being kind to me? I saw a movie and I forget the name. And this guy had just had a brain surgery. He had hurt himself. And so he had to put a special helmet before they could go and put a skull over his head. So one time he decides to ride in a train. But as he rides in the train in New York, and he was trying to tell his parents that he's okay, he's responsible, he's ready to go to the university. And his parents were feeling, no, you know, you need to get your head in order. I mean, and not in a bad way, but you need to wait until they complete the skull, you know. But he said, no, Dad, I'm okay. So he rode the train. When he rode the train, now New York is not a kawaida place, it's not Dallas. So somebody comes in, sees somebody sitting there with a helmet, and as he walks in, he's a big, huge guy, huger than your pastor. He comes and hits him on his head, pop! And this guy, the vibration, the pain in his head, he's almost crying. And he looks back at that guy. That guy doesn't even care. He's just walking nonchalantly, you know, goes and sits down. And he looks at him, and the guy is like, what? What? So this guy wakes up and goes to this man and tells him, why did you do that? And this big guy tells him, because I can. So this guy goes and sits down. And then it's a long journey. And so there's the people who come and serve, you know, sell the cookies or the snacks and stuff, that stuff. He buys for him a muffin, you know, big muffin, and pays for it and says that muffin's for that guy over there. So the lady, you know, pays, you know, does everything else and then moves, you know, it's several lanes before she gets him and then gives him the muffin. And the guy is like, and then says it's, that guy is paid for it. So he looks at the guy and said it's okay. And so the guy starts eating. And that changes everything. That changes everything. At first there is that anger, there is that frustration. But then because of that act of kindness, you know, this guy comes and says, so why are you putting a helmet after all? And then this guy now tells him his story. And this guy feels so bad. He feels so bad that he actually hit his head that way. And he said, no, it's okay. You know, you wouldn't have known if you didn't ask. You wouldn't have known if you didn't ask. Giving opens a door for a blessing. Giving opens a door for something that you would never even have imagined. Now, this is not about giving. It's not. I'm not kind of, you know, speaking that you need to give to the church. It has nothing to do with that. All that I'm saying is that when you give, whether you're giving to the church, whether you're giving to a need, it opens something for you. There is a door that is opened in your life, a door of blessing. And I'm assuring you that your life will not be the same because you give. There is a songwriter who says that I'm alive today because somebody gave. Somebody gave some offering. Somebody gave a van. Somebody gave a building. Somebody gave an opportunity. Today I would not be who I am if somebody didn't give. I would not be where I am if somebody didn't give. And so this Elisha comes to this woman or tells Gehazi, go and tell the Shunammite woman to come so that we may do something to her. When you give, Elisha felt that he had a responsibility. He needed to do something in return for this woman. She has been so kind to the man of God. You know, call her. You know, I like what she says. She replied, I have a home among my own people. Now, before that, Elisha had said that, you know, what do you want? You know, do you want me to go and talk to the king? You be given a plot? Do you want me to go and talk to the, you know, I know people here. I know people. Aren't we all used to those kind of things? You know, maybe if it was some of us, oh yeah, actually, you know, down there in Nakuru, down there, there's like a plot. I've really been waiting for that thing. Tell the king. This woman was like, no. I have my own people. I'm okay. I am okay. Praise the Lord. She was beyond that. She was not giving to receive something in return. No, she was past that level. She was past the level of need. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you give because you want. But she wasn't giving because she wanted. No, she was past that. She was too blessed. She was beyond that level. She was giving because she wanted to. She wanted to be a blessing to this man of God. But Elisha didn't stop there. This is about the genuine man of God. You know, if it was a genuine man, if it was another person who is not a real serious man of God, we'd have said, no, well, then that's okay. You know, then we'll live happily here ever after. But a man of God says, no, we need to do something for this woman. And it tells Gehazi, what should we do for this woman? So Gehazi was a good servant. He was a good sidekick. He had already done his research, and he found out, actually, she doesn't have a child.